Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, a senior health official warns the surge in COVID cases could break through the flood wall of Ireland's vaccinations. Latest HSPSE figures show there were 1,252 COVID-19 cases in Donegal in the 2 weeks to midnight on Tuesday. 1,430 people, meanwhile, have tested positive for COVID in the north in the past 24 hours. The walk-in COVID test centre at Naylor's Row Car Park in Buncrana will continue to operate until the 1st of August. Meanwhile, a doctor in Donegal has described the high number of positive cases coming from the test centre in Buncrana as staggering. Later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Kenny Harkin. That's coming up at 5:15. And because it's a Thursday, we'll have farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. That's coming up at around about 5:20. But we begin with that warning this evening from Colm Henry, the HSE's chief clinical officer. He said the surge in COVID cases could break through the flood wall of Ireland's vaccinations. The average number of daily COVID cases has nearly doubled over the past week from around 600 per day to around 1,200 per day. Colm Henry says a potential surge in COVID cases does pose a real risk, but he says for now, the vaccines are holding it back.
We've referred to this, the vaccine programme, as a flood wall that holds tight but isn't absolutely impermeable if the water level runs high enough. That flood wall is holding tight where it matters. The real world evidence of the vaccines we're using is very robust in terms of demonstrating clearly the extremely strong effect these vaccines have in reducing serious illness.
Well, latest HPSE figures show there were 1,252 COVID-19 cases in Donegal in the 2 weeks to midnight on Tuesday. That represents just over 10% of cases in the Republic. It's a 14-day incidence rate of 786.5 compared to a national average of 260.5. 1,430 people have tested positive for COVID-19 north of the border over the past 24 hours. There have been no additional COVID-related deaths reported. Latest figures show 162 patients being treated in hospitals, with 10 in ICU. The walk-in COVID-19 test centre located at Naylor's Row Car Park behind the Cockhill Health Centre in Buncrana will continue to operate until August 1st. No appointment is necessary at the centre, which will run from 11am to 7pm daily. Young people under 16 must be accompanied. The centre was established in the first week of July owing to concerns over an increase in cases across the Inishowen area. It was just to have remained open for a number of days, but it has been extended a number of times because of the number of cases reported in Inishowen. And indeed, a doctor in Donegal has described the high number of positive cases coming from the test centre in Buncrana as staggering. With more, here's Casey O'Riordan.
28% of people who booked a test in Buncrana came back positive, the highest figure for a test centre in the country. It's been described as a jaw-dropping figure by local GP Dr. Dennis McCauley.
Positivity rates, remember, could be 2.8% nationally. We get very excited when they're about 9 or 10%, but 25, 26% is exceptionally high.
The five counties with the highest percentage of positive tests are Louth, followed by Offaly, Donegal, Cavan and Monaghan. Dr. McCauley is urging people to keep their guard up.
If you're going indoors and there's somebody in that grouping that has not been vaccinated, you must wear a mask, because it is in these situations that the spread is particularly easy.
Another 30,000 calls were made to the digital COVID cert helpline yesterday, but fewer than 2,000 were answered. Just 7% of travellers have been able to get through since the start of the week. The Department of Health says many callers don't have urgent questions, and that's adding to the wait times. Employers are obliged to pay workers while they take a few hours off to get their COVID-19 vaccine. That's according to an employment law expert. It comes following reports that many people aren't being paid while they leave the workplace to get vaccinated. Fonish Leo Radker says companies who are docking workers' pay or having them make up for lost hours should be named and shamed. Employment law solicitor Richard Grogan says employees shouldn't be losing money in order to get their vaccine.
The Health and Safety Authority issued guidelines earlier on this year and said that it's the employer's obligation actually to pay for the vaccine. Now, I know at the moment it's paid for by the state, but it's actually the employer's obligation, if you want to get vaccinated, that the employer has to pay for it. On those grounds, the employee has to be let off. They have to be paid time, and it's the employer that has to facilitate that.
The Minister for Higher Education says students should prepare for the assumption that most classes will be on campus from September. Cabinet has approved €105 million in additional funding to secure the return for third level students. Minister Simon Harris says college life will return to close to normal this year.
It may not be every lecture or every workshop. The numbers in the library may need to be smaller. And not all facilities will be open in exactly the same way as they are, just like things open differently in towns and villages right across Ireland as a result of COVID. But let me be very clear about this. We're getting our students and our learners back to college. Whereas last year, the presumption was that learning would be primarily online, this year, the presumption is that learning will be mainly on site.
Other news now, and 20 homeowners in Mayo have been told they're not eligible for the Pyrite and Mica Grant scheme. They received letters from the County Council yesterday confirming the move. There are currently discussions underway on aspects of the scheme to cover work on homes affected by defective blocks in Donegal, Mayo and other counties. Jamie Lee Donnelly from Ballinan says people got these letters without any warning.
My parents had to go into their next door neighbour yesterday, who is an old woman. And she had no foresight of getting this letter, like, and you know, it's knocked her for six to the point where she doesn't know what she's going to do.
It's been confirmed today that Donegal will receive €550,000 in funding as part of a new Connected Hubs scheme. The scheme will bring a total of €3 million to the northwest to enhance existing remote working hubs and their broadband connections, as well as a number of other improvements aimed at aiding remote working in the region. Seven Donegal organisations will benefit from the funding. Donegal County Council will receive €250,000 to enhance broadband connectivity across the county, including Madden Beg, Legoni, Rye, Carrigart, Tory Island and Crocklin. The Miva Family Resource Centre, the Base Enterprise Centre in Stranorlar, GTEC in Kilcar, the Business Hub in Letterkenny, Cowork Plus in Termon and Spree August Sport in Carndonagh will also receive funding. Well, broadband issues in the Castlefin area are said to be causing havoc for people working from home. Councillor Gary Doherty has raised concerns over what he says are serious broadband issues. He says outages have been affecting the area since the weekend. There were similar service disruptions, he says, in April. Councillor Doherty says the broadband providers must take action.
This is an issue that's been going on since at least the weekend, Michaela, and it's something that's it's really causing serious issues for people in the area who are trying to use the broadband. For those who are working from home and everybody who's obviously relying on broadband, especially in these times since the advent of working from home. And what's happening is the broadband has been cutting out for a few minutes at a time, frequently throughout the day. And while this may seem like it's not a huge issue, it's really causing havoc for people who are trying to work from home. And I've been contacted by a number of people who were in the middle of very important meetings as part of their daily working life, and when the broadband cuts out and then they're left in limbo, it's really causing very serious issues.
And that was Councillor Gary Doherty there. Representatives of the Pat Finucane Centre have left a meeting with officials from the Northern Ireland office to discuss the British government's proposals on legacy. The meeting was cut short after 10 minutes because of a claim in one of the British government's documents that the majority of killings carried out by members of the police and security forces were lawful. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
Earlier this week, the Pat Finucane Centre had asked the Northern Ireland office for the source of one claim in a paper outlining the proposals, which stated security forces were responsible for around 10% of troubles-related deaths, the vast majority of which were lawful. Representatives of the PFC, which represents a number of families whose loved ones were killed by soldiers or RUC officers, said most of these families have never been accorded independent investigations. In the most recent case, the judge stated that until late 1973, an understanding was in place between the RUC and the Army, whereby the RUC did not arrest and question or even take witness statements from soldiers involved in such shootings. The PFC says this appalling practice was designed, at least in part, to protect soldiers from being prosecuted, and in very large measure it succeeded. It is not possible, therefore, for the British government to claim the vast majority of security force killings were lawful.
And there's more on that story, plus links to relevant documents on our website, highlandradio.com. Concerns have again been raised about dredging at Mararorty Pier by a local councillor. The issue of pier dredging has been an ongoing one in the summer months. Many boats are now lying dry in the harbour and ferries to Tory Island and Inishbofin have been disrupted because of the current state of the pier. Councillor Micheál Cullum-Gleasbuck says despite the pier being dredged normally each year, the delay in the application process for this year's effort has caused real problems for the local community.
But it's not a case that this is something new. Every year we dredge this pier, and yet here we are well into the summer. There is hundreds upon hundreds of people using this pier now, both to get into Tory and into Inishbofin, but yet our boats and the fishing community's boats are lying dry as we speak, and that's not good enough. How can we develop the harbour community? How can we develop the fishing community, the tourist community, and other aspects that are being utilised on this pier when the government closes its eyes and covers its ears to the needs of this community? It's grand and fine for me to be on the radio talking about this here, but the fishing community and the harbour community overall in Maharoti are sick and tired listening to me and maybe others going on and on about this here.
The number of domestic violence cases sent to the Directorate of Public Prosecutions has increased by over two-thirds this year. Gardaí sent 550 files to the DPP between January and May, compared to 327 in the same period last year. 31 of the cases were from Donegal. With more, here's Tom Douglas.
Safe Ireland's a charity that protects women and children from abuse. It says it's not at all surprised by this increase. In January to May of 2020, 327 domestic violence files were sent forward to the Director of Public Prosecutions. However, that's increased to 550 during the first 5 months of this year, which were all under a stringent lockdown. Adele Hackett's the charity's communications and advocacy manager. She says this could have been happening in previous years, but it just wasn't being reported.
It could be, and that's why we say that COVID didn't cause domestic violence, it exposed domestic violence. But I do think that the conditions under which we were living did exacerbate abusive conditions.
Caroline Cunahan works as a legal advisor. She says those numbers largely track with what's been happening on the ground.
Taking that together with Operation Fuishuv, and may I also say the greater specialisation and training of Garda units in the whole area of domestic violence, we are not surprised.
Safe Ireland says the true figure could in fact be higher. That's because some cases outside of Dublin will not be referred to the DPP, but instead will be heard in the local district court.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. Starting with soccer, and Bohemians are in action in the Europa Conference League shortly. They're in Luxembourg for a first leg meeting with Dudu Lang in the second round of qualifying. Keith Long has made two changes to the team that started in their last European outing, with Rob Cornwell and Anto Breslin both coming into the team. Georgie Kelly starts a game tonight. The Donegal man has scored 11 times in his last 10 games. Then at 8 o'clock, Tala Stadium hosts Dundalk, meeting with Latvia Tallinn of Estonia. Tallinn have won 14 of their 17 games this term and sit top of their domestic league. Also tonight at 7:30, Larne, they play Danish side Aarhus. And at 7:45, Linfield, they play Bosnian team Boric Banja. Cross-channel, Leeds United have signed Lewis Batty on a three-year deal. The midfielder has joined the club from Chelsea for an undisclosed fee. And Everton have signed winger Demarai Gray on a three-year deal. He joins the Premier League club from Bayer Leverkusen for a fee around £1.6 million. And Arsenal, they have announced that Emile Smith-Rowe has signed a new long-term contract with the club. In Gaelic Games, the Donegal CCC say they'll do everything in their power to protect playing the 2020 Donegal Senior Championship Final. They met on Tuesday evening to re-examine the draft fixture timetable, with the final scheduled for the last weekend in August. Confirmation of the actual date and time will be made available as soon as possible. With the number of games being postponed and the continued high incident rate of COVID cases across the county, catch-up games will be played between now and then. Speaking to Highland Radio Sport today, Donegal CCC Secretary Ed Byrne says he has big concerns for the coming weeks.
Yes, I suppose is the short answer to that question. We have seen a rise in the communities, in the numbers that you're seeing, even going for testing. Some cases testing is now taking more than the 24 hours that it was taking, reaching out into 48 hours. So we have seen a rise in all of that. First thing, Oisin, I suppose, is every club has to be commended for the work that they're putting in, the amount of hours that the officers there, club secretaries, spending time on phones, talking to us, updating us on numbers, updating us on results and everything. They have to be commended. And look, they are pushing at the minute the getting people to comply with the COVID regulations. But yeah, look, it's worrying. We just don't want to be in a position we were in last year where we see spectators taken away from games and that, you know. We just don't want to go back to that.
Yes, you can hear more from Ed Byrne tonight on the Score programme just after the 7 o'clock news. Also on the show tonight, Oisin Kelly looks ahead to the North West battle in the Nicky Rackard Cup as Tyrone host Donegal at the semi-final stage. Managers Michael McSheehan and Mickey McCann give their thoughts ahead of the crucial game. And Tommy Devan, ladies Gaelic football commentator, runs the rule over Saturday's Donegal-Kerry All-Ireland Championship encounter. And also tonight, Fun Harps there in Limerick playing Fairview Rangers in the Cup this weekend. We'll hear from Fun Harps boss Ollie Horgan. That's the score this evening after the 7 o'clock news. Elsewhere in Gaelic games, Dublin have the chance to win their third successive Leinster under 20 football title tonight. Last year's beaten All-Ireland finalists take on Offaly at O'Moore Park at 7:30, and the Munster under 20 football decider puts Tipperary against Cork at the same time at Semple Stadium. In boxing, four Irish boxers will begin their bid for an Olympic medal from the last 16 stage after the draws were made earlier on today. Kelly Harrington and Michaela Walsh were already poised to receive buys into the last 16 prior to the draw. Aidan Walsh received a buy into the last 16 of the men's welterweight. With Aoife O'Rourke, she'll begin in the last 16 in the women's middleweight. And Kurt Walker is the first Irish fighter in action early on Saturday morning. Emmett Brennan is in the ring on Sunday, with Brendan Irvine beginning his Olympic campaign early on Monday morning. Of course, the Olympic opening ceremony is tomorrow in Tokyo. In golf, a bogey-free round of 2-under-par 69 left Leona Maguire in a tie for 15th place after her opening round of the Evian Championship. Stephanie Meadow is two shots further back after a level par 71 today in France. The leaders, Pajari Anakaran of Thailand and American Tilami Ngo, they're out on front on 6-under-par. In the Senior Open this week in Sunningdale Golf Club, Darren Clark is in the lead. He's in 5-under-par through 14 holes of his opening round. He's one ahead of the clubhouse leaders Ricardo Gonzalez, Bernard Langer and Stephen Dodd. They're all in 4-under-par. Paul McGinley also shot a promising first round of 69 for 1-under-par. And the Kazoo Open is taking place in the Celtic Manor on the European Tour this week. Sweden's Vincent Norman leads the way on 7-under-par. Niall Kearney is the best of Irish, finished in the clubhouse on level par. Paul Dunn's 1-over through 10. And on the PGA Tour this week, it's the 3M Open in Minnesota. Scott Stallings leads the way early on. He's on 7-under-par. One clear of Cameron Tringali and Ricky Fowler, who are both on 6-under-par. And finally, for this evening in cricket, a short time ago, South Africa were 60 for the loss of 5 wickets after 10 overs in their 2020 cricket series meeting with Ireland. Paul Sterling has taken 2 wickets for the hosts at Stormont. Well, don't forget the score after 7 o'clock news, but that's your sport for this evening. It's back to Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Kenny. Well, it's a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views, and we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Firstly, a reminder that this evening at 7:30, there'll be the second of the IFA Farm Safety Forums. Of course, this is Farm Safety Week. Chaired by Caroline Farrell, the chair of the IFA Farm Safety Committee, this will be of particular interest to farmers in Donegal. Among the items on the agenda, we'll hear from Evelyn McGinley, a full-time vet at Mulroy Vets in Milford and an inter-county footballer. She'll be looking at livestock safety and will relate some of her own experiences around farm safety. Gary Fisher, Chagas advisor in Donegal, will talk about older farmers and what can be done to reduce risks on the farm. And Trish Duke, the mindset coach, will talk about the importance of looking after your mental health and well-being. And you can find more information about that on the IFA website. Well, last week, the IFA staged a protest in Dublin about what it has called a forestry licence crisis. Quite simply, there's plenty of timber ready to be cut, but the licensing system is proving to be very slow, and there's a considerable backlog with around 6,000 applicants waiting at the moment. Meanwhile, timber prices are going through the roof. IFA President Tim Cullinan says emergency legislation is needed to give farmers licences for forest roads and thinning operations. Many farmers with forestry are totally frustrated. Charlie Darty, chair of the Donegal Woodland Owners Society Limited, has been telling me more.
Yes, Chris. As you say, we were at that protest in Dublin, organised the FAA, and like we had guys from the sawmills and the nurseries and, you know, harvester guys and all. It was a very good protest. Like, you know, we brought it to the minister and Papa Hackett, the she's in charge of the forestry, like, you know, so they come out to chat us, and here are the problems we have to give them, like, you know, but they're just stuck in this, where, you know, this the felony license, they just can't get through them quick enough, like, you know, and we're pushing for them to, you know, change the act, like, you know, so they can, let's say, get the first thinnings or the road licenses should be brought out of that and put it in a management plan instead of having the licensing system, you know, because it's holding the whole thing up, and people are losing out big time with timber and that, like, you know, and people are missing out too. There is a window when your plantation comes to, let's say, roughly around year 20, you have 4 or 5 years to do a thinning. If you miss out on that, then you can't do it because there's a chance of wind blow and all that there. So, like, that's the problem. If the system is just not going through the stuff quick enough, and people are going to lose out hugely.
Now, we have a situation in Ireland at the moment. The price of timber is going through the roof, and yet we have trees out there ready to be cut. Mm. This is a source of huge frustration for many people like yourself. What light is there currently at the end of the tunnel?
Well, Chris, to be honest with you, it's bloody ridiculous, you know. Like I say, there is a worldwide shortage, you know, and we have loads of timber that's ready to harvest, and yet at the same time we're importing timber. You know, there's mills that should be actually flying at the minute that, you know, are having to cut, they're cutting... if they're able to import that timber, they're importing it. If they're not, they're laying people off because they haven't got the work for them. You know, if you go into the merchant, you would have bothered getting timber. Like, you know, everything is on a waiting list. Yet we have loads of timber in the forest, like, you know, that's ready for cutting, and we're not able to cut it because we can't get a license for it. Like, I know guys that have got a license within 9 months. I know guys have waited 3.5 years for a license. Like, so. There's no rhyme or reason to the whole thing, but no, definitely it's a huge problem. Like, you know, but no, you do have to have a nature impact statement, whether the government do it or you do it yourself. A lot of guys are now. It's costing, you know, a couple of grand to do it. Like, you know, so that has to impact on as well. That's an extra cost on the farmer as well. That, you know, if you have a small plantation, regardless of the size, it's going to cost you more or less the same, regardless. You know.
Now, I know we were speaking before about the price of timber. Maybe you can give us an example of what we're looking at now, if you were selling compared with sort of this time last year.
If you just go, like, let's say the saw log is the real scarce stuff. Like, if so, you go with the saw log this time last year, you're in around around 70 euros a cubic meter, say, and that was a good enough price actually, because it would have been a lot lower than that in previous years. Today, if you're lucky enough to have a license, which, like I say, very few people have, you could be commanding up to 130, 140 euros a cubic meter, like, you know, which is, you know, like double the price. You go to your sawmills or your merchants, the price of timber there has gone crazy. And it's back to the same story, if you can even get it. I mean, the building thing is going quite well, especially in Dublin there, and I've heard of reports of where builders have gone up the country trying to buy out merchants with timber just because they cannot get it, and they're having to just ration it, like, and if you wanted 20 lengths you only got 10, that sort of thing, or you were put on a list and you would see you give a ring in a couple of months' time and we might have it for you then, you know.
Now, there's also going to be a knock-on effect because this isn't exactly going to encourage people to go into this sector and to plant more trees if we have problems down the line.
Yeah, I mean, if you were to look at what the government are pushing, like, you know, the green and all this here and carbon footprint, I mean, the forestry ticks all the boxes. They're aiming for, what, 8,000 hectares a year that they're planting. They're not even making 2,500, but you couldn't blame the farmers for not planting with the, you know, the all the talk of what's going on. The thing is, if I, like, whenever I go to sow my field of barley, like, you know, the intention is to harvest it, like, you know, and the same if I'm planting a field of spuds. When you plant a field of trees, like, the intention is to harvest it sometime. There shouldn't be that amount of restrictions.
Now, there is a task force, and the IFA has certainly made its views felt, but if there isn't movement shortly, there could be the possibility, I presume, of further protests, and certainly the campaign will continue until matters are resolved.
Our backs are against the wall. We've been hammering about this for ages now and getting nowhere. Like I say, I know that the government are they're sort of putting the head down. Like, before this trouble was, they had one ecologist, and one ecologist was able to cover the whole country, no problem. They have 25 now. Like, they're just throwing people at it to try and go through it, but they're not even coming close, because, like, if you go back, it's not that long ago, there was 4,500 licenses in the system. Like, that's up to 6,000 now, so no matter how many men they're throwing at it, or women or whatever, like, they're not catching up with it, they're not getting rid of it. There's more coming behind all the time, like, you know, and they're not getting away with it. Like, they have to do something more drastically. Like, you know, the IFA, they're looking for to, you know, to mend that forestry back in 2014 to try and get the thinnings and the road licenses off that license system and put it into a management plan, because it's still, your forest is still going to be there after the thinning and after the road blighted. We wouldn't argue with having a clear fell, a license and system on it. It would certainly, for now, it would certainly clear a lot of stuff, and it would let guys get in to do a bit of thinning that is maybe on their year 4 or 5, and they're worried it's going past the stage. A guy that does that and goes past that stage, he loses a huge amount of money, because for to do the job properly, you should go in and do your first thing and second thing and third thing and leave your best stuff for the end, like, you know, and that's your final crop. If you don't do that, like, you don't come near to where you should be as far as profitability is, like, you know. So we're not being allowed to do that, and there's guys going to miss out on that, like, you know, and then if they go with that beyond that year 5, then they're risking the one blow and that there, and then you're losing the crop altogether. We're in Europe, and yet we're the only country that takes so long to do the forestry, you know, or to go through these licenses. If you take other parts of Europe, you're chatting, like, you know, 4 months is done and dusted, even less. Even Northern Ireland can turn the license around in 2 months, so they can. You know, we're chatting two and a half years, like, it's ridiculous.
And that was Charlie Daugherty, chair of the Donegal Woodland Owners Society Limited. Finally, the long-awaited changes to the Nursing Home Fair Deal Scheme have passed all stages of the Dáil and Seanad. The Fair Deal Nursing Home Scheme saw farm families and small business owners required to contribute 7.5% of the value of their land or asset annually to pay for the care of their loved ones in a nursing home. Well, this contribution will now be capped to a 3-year period. However, there are still some amendments to be made. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Just before we go, some news just in. Ministers at Stormont have delayed final decisions on the majority of COVID-19 relaxations proposed for Northern Ireland next week. Ministers gave the green light to 2 further relaxations at a meeting earlier, but stopped short of ratifying a series of other planned moves. Deputy First Minister Michelle O'Neill says some measures will be eased from next Monday.
Some modest changes have been made on 2 key areas. One, in terms of domestic settings, that 15 people can get together from any number of households in a garden. So that's important in terms of our own social interaction and family support and all of that. And secondly, in terms of close contact services, you no longer will need to make an appointment, so you can now go back to walk-in services.
Well, the forecast dry and very warm or hot for the rest of this evening with hazy sunshine in mostly light southeast breezes. Warm, dry and muggy tonight. Again, light southeast or variable breezes. It'll feel uncomfortable for some as temperatures remain above 16 to 18 degrees Celsius for much of the night. There'll be some isolated mist passages. Tomorrow, hot and dry with sunny spells. Highs 26 to 29 degrees Celsius in mostly light easterly breezes. A little cooler near some coastal areas. Looking at the main stories this evening, a senior health official has warned the surge in COVID cases could break through the flood wall of Ireland's vaccinations. 1,430 people tested positive for COVID north of the border over the past 24 hours. Latest HPSC figures here show that in the 2 weeks to midnight on Tuesday, there were 1,252 cases of COVID-19 in Donegal. That's just over 10% of all the cases nationally. The walk-in COVID-19 test centre located at Naylor's Row Car Park behind Cockhill Health Centre in Buncrana will continue to operate until the 1st of August. Meanwhile, a doctor in Donegal has described the high number of positive cases coming from the Buncrana Test Centre as staggering. 28%, the highest number in the country. We're back with news headlines at 6. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Thursday, the 22nd of July. The death has taken place of William Willie Boyce, Ballymaleel, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his home. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Remelton, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Rosary tonight at 9 p.m. Funeral Mass and Rosary can be viewed online at churchservices.tv/Remelton. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Pulmonary Rehab, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Sylvia O'Brien, Chapel Road, Dunloe. Her remains are reposing at Midlands Funeral Home to 8 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass in St Cronus Church, Dunloe at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, with interment afterwards in Mahary Cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Dunloe District Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member, or Sean Midlin, funeral director. And the death has taken place of Bree Diver, Nay Green, Carrickataskin, Derry Beg, formerly of Ranafast. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Chapel, Derry Beg, tomorrow morning at 11, with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. Rosary tonight at 9 o'clock. The Funeral Mass can be viewed live on the Kieran Rorty Funeral Director Facebook page. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family and close friends only, please, with a maximum of 50 people permitted.